Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Yes, we are still in video. We have made it past week one. The ratings were up.
They were.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. I know two ladies.
Two ladies, yes. Carol and Anne.
Yes.
Both watching it. Our mothers love the show. So welcome back. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox here to my left. The Falcon Cast Podcast here in week two, if you can believe it. The Falcons taking on the Rams at the Georgia Dome. In a home opener at the Georgia Dome. It'd be nice to get back home where things are certainly in our favor. It was a tough environment in New Orleans during the 23-17 loss the Falcons suffered that first week. But we are on to week two.
Yes.
We have forgotten it. We are moving on. And there's a long season ahead. So, and it kind of starts now.
Yeah. You know, coming back home, it's a good place to be.
Great place.
Friendly environment for the Falcons.
Great popcorn, too.
Popcorn. Good sodas.
Good sodas.
Hot dogs, hamburgers.
Yep, all that stuff.
But, yeah, it's good to come back home, not have a long streak out on the road, you know, nothing like that. So, here come the Rams.
Yeah, and it's certainly time to get ready. Before we get going, we have we'd just like to call attention again to our tchotchkes.
Yes.
We've got Julio. Julio is back.
Yes.
Again, the bobbleheads you can get over at Mellow Mushroom. We do have our intern's car key. We told him that he now has to supply this every week. We are still trying to auction this thing off, this car, so get your bids in. It's pretty much sight unseen. Okay, we're not going to tell you anything about the car. You just have to put your bids in, and what you get is what you get.
Is the wallet, does that come with it?
No, this is for us. We stole our intern's wallet.
Oh, yeah.
His wallet is actually – it's morbidly obese.
It's very large.
It's a George Costanza wallet. If you open it up, papers will fly everywhere. This thing is like, what are we keeping in here?
And that's something that he keeps in his pocket.
Right.
Future back problems.
You sit on this?
Right there. Yeah, future back
No,
problems.
He doesn't sit on this. Oh. Front pocket. He's a front pocket
guy.
I'm a front pocket guy as well.
Really?
You're a back pocket guy,
aren't
you?
I am.
See, I worry about pickpockets.
Hmm.
That's what I worry about.
I just don't carry anything of value.
I'm not saying I do either, but yeah. So we've got these things. Again, if you would like to donate to our tchotchke fund, our collection, please get with Daniel or I on Twitter, and we will certainly tell you the information to send us some stuff in.
A lot of interest so far in submitting items, artwork,
yes.
Other things.
Artwork, so. Yes, of course. Our good friend Austin Hatcher,
yes,
potentially sending us something which could be great.
Yeah, definitely.
I think like maybe something. Maybe if you drew like you and me, like in togas. Made it kind of like Sistine Chapel like.
Interesting.
With our golden pipes on the microphone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thinking aloud.
Yeah. I mean, that's. Hey, he wanted direction. I told him just, hey, you know, whatever inspires you, but maybe
I've just inspired him.
Yeah.
If I could be so blunt, I believe I've inspired him. So,
of course. Of course.
Let's make that happen. So,
yes.
All right. Without further ado, let's get into. Our segments here.
Yes.
Well, first of all, let's kind of go back a minute and address the Saints game. And just first of all, you know, to me, it was a game of missed opportunities.
I think
there were a lot of opportunities that the Falcons missed out on that could have gone either way. And I feel like when you have a game of missed opportunities, the mistakes and the issues that pop up are extremely correctable. I think that's a good thing. When you kind of get beat by yourself, as much as it hurts. And nobody wants to lose to a division rival that way. I think the encouraging thing is that you can take some of those things that happened and you can move on to the next week and try to fix them.
Yeah. I think it's clear the Falcons didn't play their best game, but they still managed to hang around.
Yeah.
And they had an opportunity there at the end. But I think you're exactly right, Jay. You know, those missed opportunities throughout the game. And we're gonna kind of discuss a few of those and, you know, how they affected last week and kind of how that may affect this week's game, you know, a little bit. But, yeah, I just felt like throughout the day there were these ups and downs that they couldn't necessarily get past, and it just kind of mounted. You know, not even a mistake necessarily, just missed opportunities. I think that's a really good word to describe that. Those opportunities that they had throughout the day, and they just continued to mount and, you know, compound. And here we were at the end of the game, and they still had an opportunity, and they just couldn't pull it out.
Yeah, and just off the top of my head, I mean, you go down to the red zone after you go up 7-0 and you settle for a field goal instead of getting 7 points. Julio has that uncharacteristic fumble.
Mm-hmm.
William Moore doesn't secure that interception, which a few plays later turns into a Saints touchdown.
Yeah.
There were a couple other.
There were some drives, you know, later on in the third quarter.
Yeah. Oh, Robert Alford gets that interception. Right. You go 3-and-out after that.
Yep.
Those are the kinds of things that if they go your way, and we talk all the time about football is that game where, you know, it's how the ball bounces things. You have any one of those things that go your way, I think you end up winning the game. It's just that we were in a situation where none of those things went our way. And I think that's, to me, when you're dealing with luck and things that are based off of just those finer details, I think you can correct those things and rebound.
Yeah, you know, and there were just so many things that were a little bit out of characteristic for the Falcons. You know, they always seem to manage to get points on drives, you know, in some way or another. And they didn't really, you know, they had some trips inside the red zone where they couldn't come out with anything. You know, they were 2-for-4 in there. You know, just drives where they weren't getting points, and that's a little uncharacteristic. So that's something that they're going to want to fix.
Of course, and you'll be fixing them as they've been doing all week. Is getting ready for the Rams. The Rams winners over the Arizona Cardinals,
mm-hmm,
in week one, and they had quite a thriller. And you know what? I was looking at the stats, and it was kind of amazing how similar the St. Louis Rams were with the Falcons as far as stats goes. Passing, mm-hmm, yards allowed, points given up, all those kinds of things. Very, very even between the two teams. I really feel like, you know, if you're a fan that's kind of discounting the Rams and saying, you know, traditionally they've had some hard times, I think that would be a mistake. This is a formidable team with a very good defensive line. And, mm-hmm, and you talk about the offensive line, the Falcons' offensive line had a hard day against New Orleans, but yeah. I think that this defensive line of the St. Louis Rams is a little better.
Yeah, and I don't, off the top of my head, I don't recall where they stood last year, and just in terms of generating sacks, but they were up there. They've got some talented players, and you know, they had another young guy step up last week, Robert Quinn, UNC guy. a three-sack day. You know, Chris Long recovered a fumble, I believe. They were always around the ball, and they were generating pressure. They had 4 sacks total. that's something that, you know, the Falcons are going to need to protect and they need to contend with. So,
yeah, and we'll see as this offensive line continues to work together. You know, that game, I mean, that's your first regular season game where you're trying to gel. You've got a couple of new guys on the offensive line. There are certainly some issues that need to be fixed, and the Falcons are set to work this week getting those issues taken care of. So certainly hoping for a better performance against St. Louis, because Matt Ryan needs some time, you know? You with me?
Yeah, I was.
We here?
Yeah, I was just looking ahead.
Oh, okay.
Looking ahead.
All right.
But Matt Ryan does need time. You're right, and I think that may be the strength of that defense, is that defensive line.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into our Week One awards. We're going to give an award every week. It'll be a different award. It may be. Mm-hmm. It'll be different.
One never knows what the award may be.
Right. The prize, that is, for the trophy case.
The prize, yes, exactly. It's definitely a prize.
Well, let's go ahead and introduce this prize. This award we're going to give for the player that is, we're going to call it the Ready for the Spotlight Award.
Yes.
And I think fittingly, if you would like to introduce,
sure,
what this week's prize is.
Yes. This week's prize is a very nice RCA video camera.
From circa, what do we think here? Does it have a born on date?
Does not. I'm thinking 95-ish.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
All right. I don't know. I'd say that's a pretty good guess.
I honestly don't know how to use it. So I would like to show it off and demonstrate various.
For those of you born in the 90s, this is called this was a video camera. Mm-hmm. This is kind of how things were back then. It was a struggle.
Yeah.
We didn't have little phones with cameras in them.
No. If you wanted to capture someone, for your viral video, you had to carry this and kind of be prepared.
Right. And then there was no place to really upload them because there was no YouTube back then.
It was
sad days. Yeah. Sad days back then. But anyways, this is to symbolize the player who is ready for the spotlight because the camera's pointed at him.
Yeah, he's clearly ready to be videoed, film.
Yes. So, who is our spotlight player, Daniel?
I'm going to say it's going to be Robert Alford.
Robert Alford. The Ready for the Spotlight Award goes to Robert Alford. Tell him why.
He had a really big interception, a key interception, like you mentioned earlier. Third quarter, it was kind of a back-and-forth game. And the Falcons were kind of looking for some momentum, and Robert Alford stepped up and gave it to him. And, while the offense didn't necessarily take that momentum and run with it, I thought that it was a key moment in the game. I thought he was kind of a game changer in that way. And it's just the fact that he's a rookie, and we've talked about him so much, the up and downs of preseason and getting tested and, that week three test. And he still came up with an interception there, and then he had another one in week four of the preseason. And then he starts the season off a key pass deflection on third down earlier in the game. Again, this is Drew Brees we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we thought, and we kind of saw it, that Brees is going to test the young secondary, Trufant, Robert Alford. And Robert Alford really stepped up in a big way. Two pass defenses and an interception. That is worthy of this VHS video camera.
And I know Robert's going to be pleased when he gets his hands on this because it still works. It's still right. If we had a VHS tape, how do you open this thing?
I'm pretty sure it works.
Up? Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know how to work it.
You know what cam I like better?
What's that?
I like the Julio cam.
Oh, this is true. This is going to be awesome.
In the Julio cam. Right there. All right. Okay, so Ready for the Spotlight Award goes to Robert Alford for a fantastic interception against a very good quarterback.
Yeah, congratulations to Robert.
Congratulations to Robert. What should we do with this?
I don't know. We can just kind of hide it. Thanks, Jay. That was
all right.
Yes, moving on.
Moving on. Speaking of Robert Alford's interception. All right, so we're gonna move on to which is better. This is where we present two things that could be anything, and we argue over which one is better.
Yes,
and
which is better.
So we're gonna start out with the better play of week one, and we're gonna start out. Here are our two options for us to argue and debate, and perhaps throw punches over.
Okay,
Robert Alford's third quarter interception was a beautiful one. He had fantastic position on the pass and hauled in the interception for it. The first of his professional career officially. Of course, he had one in the preseason, but we know those don't count. So Robert Alford's third quarter interception versus Steven Jackson's 50-yard run. And boy, what a run it was. It was beautiful right down. He just got into the open space, found the open space. Got right down into it and just took off, and it was a thing of beauty. So the two of us here are now going to decide which is better, and I think since you lost the argument last week.
I lost it?
We both decided – no. I'm going to say you lost.
Okay.
Because in my mind you did. Even though we chose the same thing, I had a better argument, so I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. All things considered, I have to say that the Robert Alford pick is the better play. I love the Steven Jackson run, and I thought that it was such a significant run in terms of getting that run game going. At one point, Steven Jackson was averaging like eight yards a touch. That was a really nice run. But just for the fact that it's the rookie. And I have a place in my heart for rookies. I identify with them sometimes. But, the rookie and him stepping up in that big moment against Drew Brees, after he'd already, had a pass deflection as well. He was involved in the game, and he's stepping up. Don't forget, he's playing on the field because Asante Samuel wasn't able to go. And there was a really young group of secondary guys out there in cornerbacks. And I think Robert Alford is the better play.
Okay. That's fair enough. But I'm gonna go the other way on this. I'm going to go with Steven Jackson's run was better. I say that because you could kind of feel it coming to at that point. I mean, you just saw that he was looking for those holes. And when he found that one, you were like, okay, this is the one. And he got out there, and he had good blocking to start out with on the first level. But he gets into that second level, and that's where he just makes some things happen. And he made that – I remember he made that one Saints defender kind of turn around on himself.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he was the guy who was kind of the closest to being able to make that tackle. And he just spun him completely around.
He did
around.
Spin him around.
Yeah, you're watching it right now.
Yeah,
we're seeing it right here. But
yeah.
– I just love this play because I think it helped to announce that things are a little bit different in the run game for the Falcons. So for me, just the ability that Steven Jackson was able to show, and I think he makes a statement that for the people who say, you know, he's 30 years old, he's over the hill, it's time for his decline. I mean, I think that was one of those runs that says, think again. So for me, that was the better play of the preseason, although, of course, I respect the rookie's interception. I thought
okay.
That was great for him, great confidence booster for him. But I'm just going to go with Steven Jackson's 50-yard
okay.
run.
Well, Twitter family,
yes.
Twitter nation, Falcon Nation.
Settle it.
Settle the score,
settle
please.
The score. Let us know. All right, so that was our first which is better.
Which is better. Which is
all right,
better.
We're going to move on to another serious topic. Last week, you know, we talked about beards. Very serious topic.
Yes.
And you still have yours.
I do.
Which it's still looking glorious.
Thank you.
As
thank
ever.
You. Thank you. Yours is coming in,
yeah,
coming back
I'm
in.
I'm starting to.
Yeah,
I'm
good,
starting to.
Good.
So, last week we had a very serious conversation about beards. This week we have another very serious conversation.
Extremely serious.
Extremely serious.
Enlightening topic.
No levity whatsoever in this conversation at all. But... I've been doing this feature on my blog that you can find on AtlantaFalcons.com. Shameless plug.
Yes.
It's called 5 Things We Need to Know About Your Teammates. And what I do is I just find a player and I say, tell me 5 things that you think that fans need to know about your teammates. Okay? We want the dirt. We want the secrets, you know? We want to find out all that information that is so hard to come by sometimes.
Yes.
And I've done quite a few now. I've spoken with Thomas Descoux, Corey Peters, Justin Blaylock,
mm-hmm.
and Matt Bosher. And through this, I've actually been able to find some like really good information, but also alarming information
mm-hmm.
That I think just needs to be hashed out, and we need to debate this. All right, so here are 2 secrets that I found out in my series that we're going to discuss right now.
Which is better secret?
Which is the better secret? Okay, first secret, Matt Bosher told me that kicker Matt Bryant, his family raises miniature horses.
Hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Miniature horses. Have you ever seen a miniature horse?
I have.
They're horses, but they're miniature.
Yeah, yeah.
Very small.
Appropriately named.
Bite-sized horses.
Yeah.
They kind of creep me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Hmm.
They're little. You can't saddle up or anything on it. Like, I guess if you were one of those. You ever seen the dog-riding monkey cowboys? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Dog-riding monkey cowboys. Oh my God!
Sorry,
this is amazing. Okay, so there's this one little show that tours, and it's just a guy, and he's got a little monkey, and he puts it on a dog, and the monkey's dressed up as a cowboy.
Okay, I mean, I'm totally losing you. I can imagine.
You can imagine. Okay, well, it's a very entertaining show.
I'm sure it is.
I'll tell you that, but okay. I feel like that the only thing that could ride a miniature horse would be like perhaps a little monkey or
okay.
perhaps an infant.
Yes.
But I don't feel like an infant could stay on
it. Not unless there's a saddle. That's probably not a good idea.
Right. So Wow, we've taken a turn.
All right.
So, all right, so Matt Bryant raising,
one secret.
Raising miniature horses versus we found out from Justin Blaylock that Garrett Reynolds grew up in his family with – the family had a pet, as many families do.
Yes.
I have a dog. Do you have any pets?
No, I don't.
No, okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
But
I have had pets.
You have had pets.
Yes.
So you're not very good with pets.
That's not what I said. I just don't have a pet right now.
Okay.
Between pets.
All right. Well, Daniel has pets, but he kills them all off. But we've all had pets, and so Garrett Reynolds had a pet too, which is not unlike any other person. No.
Except, perfectly common.
Perfectly
very
common,
normal.
Except that his pet was a possum.
Hmm.
And that's a marsupial.
Yeah.
And so... And you know, that's honestly not the strangest part of it. You know, Justin Blaylock tells me that this possum was very much a part of his family, and that the possum used to be posed with on family portraits.
Okay.
So like the Christmas card, you know how you take a picture like in your kids,
yeah,
and you,
yeah.
you know, you send
yeah,
it
like
out.
The holiday.
Yeah, the holidays. Yeah. And you send it out, and oh, look at here's the Daniel Cox family.
Yeah.
Well, the Garrett Reynolds family would send out a picture with the family and this pet possum that was on his father's shoulder.
Hmm.
For the, yeah.
So which is better, Dave?
So which secret is better is what we are trying to get at
which
here.
Which is better?
Let's go ahead and you are already Googling pictures of possums.
Yes,
and it's very disturbing.
Yeah, there's a lot of images of possums.
Yes.
Okay. Which is better? Which is a better secret?
Yes.
Matt Bryant and his family raising miniature horses, or Garrett Reynolds and his family as a child having a pet possum?
Right.
That was very active in their lives.
Very active pet possum.
I'm going to say.
A pet possum that you would take places
yeah.
in public.
It's a pet.
It is a pet that you treat as a member of your family.
Yes.
Which is the better secret here?
It's got to be Garrett Reynolds and the pet possum.
Okay.
It has to be.
Okay.
And now we have to raise our game and find a picture of the Garrett Reynolds family.
This I have been told, however, is akin to like locating the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
I mean, this is like some... You cannot find this.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway. I can see how those offensive linemen have given a lot of effort to trying to unearth
Well,
one of these.
I think Garrett has really kind of tried to bury this in his past, and Justin Blaylock has dug it back up.
And here we are.
I have been told that photos do exist.
Okay,
but there is no way these are like. Locked up in a safe deposit box in Fort Knox somewhere.
Okay.
It is impossible to get this. We'll try, though. If not, maybe we can, like, Photoshop something.
I'm sure that is a possibility. what do you think? I think it's the pet possum. Just possums are strange animals. I'm
yeah.
from the South. I grew up in the country. I've had some run-ins with possums.
You've had possum run-ins?
Yeah, you know.
What, like dark alleys at night?
Trash cans.
You get the trash can. All right.
Yeah. So
have you been mugged by possums?
I have not.
Okay.
But I've come across some, and they're
okay.
not that. All due respect to the Reynolds family and their possum, and the memory of, they're not the nicest animals around. Okay, so.
With all due respect to the Reynolds possum.
Yeah. Which is a greater accomplishment, miniature pet horses or having a pet possum? I think that maybe is the question. But what do you think? Which is better? Which is the better secret?
Which is the better secret? All right. So I really like that Matt Bryant has spent a lot of his family time around miniature horses, because if you know Matt Bryant
– yes, true.
It's absolutely hilarious to even think about. But I'm going to go with you on this one. Garrett Reynolds with the pet possum is just – when the words came out of Justin Blaylock's mouth, I kind of had to let that register for a minute. And I really am still trying to let it all soak in. And honestly, I have not brought this up with Garrett at all. Yeah. But I really feel like it's a subject that may have to come up at some point because I need to get to the bottom of this and really find out. And then, you know, maybe I'll present Garrett with the opportunity to spill some dirt on Blaylock. And maybe
that's a good idea.
That'll kind of even up the score.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. I think this is an easy winner. Which is better? Garrett Reynolds' pet possum is the winner for me. So that's which is better.
Which is better.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun.
Oh, yeah. We don't even need sound effects.
This is true. We can stop with the added.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Good point. Because we have a lot of great production now.
That's right. Exactly. All right. So we're moving on to the lightning round.
Lightning round.
And it doesn't look like the deck is stacked so much against me this week as it was last week, Daniel.
But, Jay, you were so good. You were so good.
I tried.
You were so impressive.
Well, that only makes me the winner then.
Okay.
All right, so lightning round. We have solicited Twitter for your questions, and you gave us some very good ones. Mm-hmm. Your questions or your comments, and here's how it's going to work is that we're going to read these off, and we're going to have 20 seconds to respond. We've got our timer. Are we good on the time? Time back there? Okay, so we're good on the time. We've got 20 seconds to respond to each. And, Daniel, I'll let you go ahead and read the first one.
All right, are you ready, Jay?
Hang on.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Get ready. All right. So the first, and this is a comment, and we encourage your comments and questions, not just questions. Anything you have to say about the previous game or this coming game. From good friend Nikki Free, she said, very impressed by the rookie cornerbacks. Complete confidence in those guys.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. And what do you think about that, Jay?
Go. Okay. I completely agree with this. I think that was a huge test for these rookie cornerbacks, Robert Alford, Desmond Trufant. Of course, Robert had the interception. But I really thought that this was a great test for them, great experience, and something that they will both learn from going ahead.
Nice job.
That was time to spare, too.
Yeah. You're good at this. You're very good at this.
All right. You're going to have a hard time beating me.
Yeah. The best fast talker in the world.
All right. Well, let's test this out. You can get better here. All right. So here's your question. All right. This one comes from Shortcake J79 on Twitter. Okay. O-line did great in the first half. Fatigue set in and hurt us in the long run. Another comment. You ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
I'm not completely sure that it was fatigue. I think the Saints defense did a nice job, you know, going into halftime, coming back out, making some adjustments. And I really think the Falcons, like I said earlier, could not capitalize on those opportunities. 8 straight possessions to end the game, just 1 touchdown.
Darn it. I think you might add more time to spare.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's move on to the next question. Here it is. Go ahead and feed it to me.
All right. I feel like Steven Jackson wasn't used to his complete potential, even with 77 yards on 11 carries. Up the middle gets easy to read.
Okay. You ready? Okay. Go. All right. I feel like you're going to see Steven Jackson used in a lot of different ways, and I think you saw a lot more of that as a receiver out of the backfield where he did some really awesome things. We talked about the 50-yard run. That was great, but he had a lot of receiving yards as well and did really, really good there. Up the middle, I like him up the middle because he's that kind of runner, and I'm just going to keep going because I have passed 20 seconds, and it doesn't really matter.
It does matter.
It does not matter.
It does matter.
It does matter.
Everything we do matters.
I need to be more succinct.
Everything we do matters.
To finish my point, as I will keep going.
Yeah, why don't you finish?
Up the middle gets easy to read. I don't think that, you know, we didn't see him run off tackle a whole heck of a lot. So, but I think that you're going to see a little bit more of that. So that's all. I think I went like 45 seconds. So
yeah,
I lost.
Pushing a minute there.
We can just end it here because I lost.
No,
but we'll go on to this last one. All right, so question number 2 for Daniel, which is also not a question. We have no questions. We have just statements.
That's cool. It's nice to respond to what people have to say.
I completely agree with you. Yeah. All right, so our good friend Brian O'Hearn on Twitter says, the fumble was the turning point, hands down. And go.
The fumble he's speaking of is the Julio Jones fumble in the second quarter. I just feel like that was too early in the game for a turning point. I feel like things happened much later. And those three straight possessions that I talked about earlier, two three and outs, and then a stop with penalties as well on those final three possessions.
Woo!
Oh, man.
I started rambling. Yes.
Jeez.
You did. It's easy to ramble in the weather.
Oh, my gosh. I was doing so well, and then...
You were on a pace, and then things really got.
But anyway, that track. You know, I don't think that was the turning point. I think those three straight possessions in that third quarter, moving into the fourth quarter, I speak so much better when there's not a. I'm not up against the clock.
There's a lot of pressure in the lightning round. You guys don't understand.
It is. You should try this at home.
Like there is a lot of pressure in the lightning round.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, but yeah, I disagree, Brian.
Okay. That's the lightning round.
All right.
We need a little bit more excitement. All right, so that's the lightning round. We're moving on to our most valuable Falcon. Remember, we're going to keep track of this every week to see if our predictions came true, hold us accountable. This one is kind of like a toss-up. Twitter, you guys may have to settle this one for us because last week I picked Tony Gonzalez to be the player of the game. He ended with three catches, 36 yards, and a touchdown.
Yes.
Certainly made an impact, but I think
absolutely.
New Orleans focused on him. Really double-teamed him, took him away, as we saw in the game. And, you know, obviously Roddy being limited with the ankle affected that. But he had not a bad stat line. Daniel, you had Steven Jackson, 11 rushes, 77 yards, 5 catches, 45 yards, 122 all-purpose yards. I'll go ahead and say you're the winner this week.
Wow, thank you, Jay. Sorry. Yeah. I was.
You can give your acceptance speech.
Like,
go ahead.
I was prepared to, you know, discuss why I may have been better. You know, it's a tough one because Tony did get that touchdown, and you know, scores are pretty important.
Sure.
But I just feel like Steven Jackson did so much to keep the offense balanced, and he had that big run, but he was effective in the passing game as well, and you know, he really was strong, and. I think we're going to continue to see more and more out of Steven Jackson in the offense and him being used in a lot of different ways and in more touches, too. I'd love to see Steven Jackson with more touches. But, hey, if you're going to say I'm the winner, I'm going to accept that.
We'll give it to you.
I am the winner. So
We'll give it to you.
So, thank you.
So, Twitter, we're going to leave this out of your hands. I'm just going to go
ahead
and
just going to go ahead.
I feel like. But, you know, back to the point that I made last week, you know, I said that the addition of Steven Jackson and the fact that you've got Julio and Roddy and Harry, who, by the way, had a great game.
Oh, absolutely.
Great game. Both
huge
receiving, blocking, everything across the board. Harry had a great game last week. Back to my point, though, that you have all these weapons, and my thought was that Steven Jackson was going to open things up for Tony Gonzalez because you have so many of those guys. But honestly, the opposite happened because the focus was on Tony Gonzalez and it opened things up for Steven Jackson. So it's really, you can flip like a five-sided coin and try to determine who is going to have the big game. This week it was Harry and Steven Jackson.
Yeah. And I think you can almost, some of those five guys, we could probably pick one of those guys to be the key Falcon each week.
Absolutely.
But I don't think we should do that.
No, let's not. Let's make it interesting. Okay. All right, so now we're moving on to this week.
Okay.
Falcons facing the Rams. It's a big week.
Mm-hmm.
Lot on the line as the Falcons, you know, try to stop that streak at one.
Yes.
Somebody's going to have to step up. Daniel Cox, who is it going to be?
I'm going to stick with what works, so I'm going to say Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson is my pick again this week.
Okay.
And why, you ask?
Yes, why? Please.
First game in the Georgia Dome. Steven Jackson has been waiting for this. And it just so happens that he spent a number of his years, all of his previous years in his career, and I'm sorry, I don't remember how many, 10 or 11, somewhere like that, with the St. Louis Rams, who just so happens are coming to Atlanta to play a game this weekend. No hard feelings. I don't think it's anything like that. But I think all these guys, we often hear about, you know, facing their former team, and he's still teammates with a lot of those guys as well. I think he would he would relish the opportunity to do well against them. But I think more than anything, he wants that opportunity to perform for the home Georgia Dome crowd, which incidentally 33-7 at home under Coach Smith. Got a quick email from the PR department on that. So.
Nice
job, Matt Haley.
Very good,
Matt Haley.
The Falcons also under Mike Smith after a loss, 21-4.
Nice.
21-4 in games after the loss. So that's that's another encouraging stat.
That's a great stat. Since we're spilling stats here,
spilling them.
Yeah, the only time they did lose back to back games was in 2009, and they happened three times that year. That was a really tough year with injuries.
Yeah,
and that's the only time it's happened. So,
yep. All right. Well, I was definitely going to go with Steven Jackson. That was going to be my guy. Okay. But since, in all fairness of the game, because we have to keep track, because the loser has to hear the winner brag for an entire off season.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And perhaps anything else we want to put on the line. Here.
There's a lot of bragging.
We can make it interesting.
Lots of opportunities.
All right. So you're going to go with Steven Jackson. Mm-hmm. I am going to go ahead, and you know, I'm going to talk out loud here because I'm a little torn because part of me wants to choose an offensive lineman. Okay. But it's tough to – there's no stats for offensive linemen. So I'm going to get away from that because I really feel like this is the week that group needs to step up. And so I was going to kind of add a little extra with saying, okay, you know, one of those guys is going to have to step up and really
– That's a good curveball. You could say the entire unit.
It is.
But then
– I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that because I really feel like if I know Julio Jones – If I know Julio Jones,
number 11,
he is not happy about the fumble from last week, and I feel like he is going to want to make up for that in a very big way. He doesn't take these kinds of things lightly, and you know, Tony Gonzalez, for example, is a guy who never fumbles, and I think Tony has one career fumble.
Yeah,
if you really want to put that into perspective. And for Julio to have that fumble, I think that's something that he's going to want to bounce back from. I think that the Rams game is a perfect time to do it. It looks like Roddy's going to be a little bit limited with that ankle. So I think that the onus is going to be on Julio, and I think he's going to be the guy who is going to step up. I think it's going to be interesting because you've got Cortland Finnegan out there who's going to be defending both Roddy and Julio, and He's a guy who's a very good cornerback.
He's a little feisty.
But he's feisty and he's chippy. So I really think that's going to be even more motivation for a guy like Julio to want to step up and kind of be the victor, so to speak. So I'm going to go with Julio Jones. I think this is a week that he really, really steps up, really becomes Matt's reliable target. I don't know. I could just see big things for him this week.
I could see it. That was just Julio's second fumble in his career, and that was something – it was so unusual.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you really go back and you look at that play, and it was close to not being a fumble. It was just one of those things that, you know, we can lament for as long as we can, but, you know, we're moving on.
Yes, we have Me moved too. On.
We have moved
We've already moved on.
We've already moved on.
All right, so you got Julio. I'm taking Steven Jackson.
And that's how, and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll see. So we're going to go ahead and make some phone calls.
Uh huh.
Yeah. No, we're not, because that phone didn't work. So again, that's it. That's it.
That's all we have written.
We're not very good at wrapping this up.
We'll get better. It's work in progress.
Work in progress. Yeah. All right. Well, again, so send us your tchotchkes if you'd like to see them on the podcast. Add to our set. Donate something because it's for a good cause. And we will catch you next week on the FalconCast podcast. Always in video.
Yes. Live and in color.
Live and in
not,
color.
Well, not live.
But definitely in color.
Yes.
So we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.